Next matter, State of Ohio versus Welton Chappelle. Mr. Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. Warren Freeman on behalf of William Mason and the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. Today, the state is asking that this court adopt as a proposition of law that the state is permitted to use either a federal criminal offense or a municipal criminal offense to prove that a person possesses items with the intent to act criminally. This proposition of law provides a sound rule of law that's easy to apply and should be adopted for two reasons. First, it comports with the plain language of the criminal tools statute, which prohibits possession of any item with the intent to use that item criminally.
Is this a new rule of law for us?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Is this a new rule of law that you want the Supreme Court to adopt for Ohio, or has this been the practice, or do you know?
This would be a new rule of law that I'm asking this court to adopt. I don't know of any other case that has interpreted the word criminally to mean that, to mean any crime. Moreover, the 8th District opinion specifically rejected that idea that we could use a federal criminal, in this case, a federal criminal offense.
Have other states gone in this direction?
I'm not familiar with other states and what their statutes would allow, but in this case, the legislature's intent becomes clear for two reasons. First, the statute itself, when it was expanded in 1974, went beyond possession of burglarous tools to commit burglary and to encompass all crimes. And in 2004, the Ohio legislature again adopted 290104D and indicated that any provision in the Ohio Revised Code that defines or specifies a criminal offense shall be construed to mean a former law of this state, a current law of this state, a federal law, the law of another state, or a municipal ordinance.
So you're saying that this is an interpretation of a statute that's been amended as recently as 2004 to include interpretation of a federal law?
Yes, Your Honor, in this case. I believe the plain language of the word criminally and the intent when that was passed in 1974 is an indication that they meant in 1974 for a federal criminal offense to apply there. Even at that time, there were many offenses that had as either elements or punishment federal offenses. So that was not an unknown practice for the legislature to.
Excuse me, Mr. Freeman, that definition that you gave, where did it come from again, please? The definition of criminally?
The definition of criminally is not defined in the Ohio Revised
Code.
Okay,
but you talked about a definition of crime. Was that it?
Correct. Under 290104D, which was passed in 2004, the legislative annotations tell us that that was to provide a rule for interpreting statutes that make a statutory reference to a criminal offense.
And Mr. Freeman, doesn't 290104D also contain words that say any provision of the revised code that refers to a section or to a division of a section? And isn't the statute in question here, 2923.24, the possession of criminal tools statute, it doesn't contain any reference to a particular statutory provision? How do you explain that?
The state's position in this case is not that 290104D modifies the word criminally. 290104D modifies the position taken by Mr. Chappelle in this case, which is that the word criminally is defined by 290103, which says an offense is found in the Ohio Revised Code. That is a provision that defines or specifies a criminal offense, and it shall be construed to mean the five things we talked about. The federal offense being one of them.
Now, Mr. Freeman, assuming that we talk about criminally, you want an expansive definition of criminally. You want a definition that says that if you violate a federal law, that that's adequate, correct?
Absolutely.
And you'd like that definition to say if you violate the law of another state, that would be adequate here, too.
As long as one element of the offense occurred in Ohio, and I'm indicting you ultimately on an Ohio statute, absolutely.
And what about if it was a foreign law? Could that, too, lead us to a possession of criminal tools?
I think initially it could in 1974. I believe the legislative intent becomes clear then in 2004 when 01-04-D is passed. 01-04-D does not allow for that. So I don't believe on that statute that 03 has been modified to allow me to use a law of a foreign jurisdiction.
And how about municipal codes from anywhere in the country?
The statute says municipal ordinances. As long as an element
— So any city anywhere in the country criminalizes something and you possess something with the purpose of violating that municipal code from Oregon, you've committed a crime here in Ohio.
Absolutely, under the laws of this state. And to that point is that's not an absurdity. It isn't. The question is to protect Ohio citizens from criminal action within Ohio's borders. I'm not saying somebody's guilty or has actually committed the crime. I'm just asking to get the case to a jury. This indictment in this case was dismissed because I was told, or excuse me, the 8th District said that, no, you have to pick an offense within the Ohio Revised Code, despite the clear language used in the possession of the criminal tool statute and 2901.
And you're saying that it doesn't matter that the state of Ohio could not prosecute for the underlying offense.
Are you speaking to the preemption issue?
Well, I'm just talking about, this Ohio can't prosecute in this case for the federal copyright violation, correct?
Correct. I have no jurisdiction to prosecute him for that.
And you're saying that it really doesn't or shouldn't matter?
Not under the explicit language of the statutes in this case. It is a criminal act.
Well, counsel, there's no prerequisite that the criminal activity be prosecuted. Is that correct? In other words, the underlying criminal activity that is referenced in the statute that we're concerned with here, there's no requirement that there be a prosecution of that criminal activity, correct?
Absolutely not. And it happens quite frequently, especially in a large district. A lot of times an individual may have a small amount of marijuana. This is how it normally comes up. Has a small amount of marijuana, not enough to really establish what we believe by probable cause is drug trafficking, but we do believe they possess criminal tools. Depending on the arresting jurisdiction, we may indict him in Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court with that misdemeanor, but we would have no intention of, maybe if it was in the city of Cleveland, prosecuting their particular possession of marijuana count.
Counsel, we had the case of State versus Perry in 98, and as you know, I dissented. It was a similar issue involving a theft, involving the downloading and the copyright law, and our court said that could not be prosecuted. Do we have to overturn Perry, or does the 2004 law take care of Perry, or is Perry distinguishable?
Perry's distinguishable to the extent that preemption is automatically a case-by-case basis. It depends on not what the state's prosecution entails, but what the defendant's actions are. And in this case, Chappelle's actions do not implicate any right that is protected by a copyholder. I will not prove that he illegally copied anything, that he illegally displayed anything, that he illegally performed any copyrighted material. I will not prove any cause of action that would allow a copyright claim in tort. Because of that, the equivalency test cannot be established in this case. So in Perry, the equivalency test happened to be established under this court's analysis. But in this case, there is no equivalency because there is no copyright violation.
So, Mr. Freeman, hypothetically, if an accused is found to possess counterfeiting plates for making $20 bills, the state can't prosecute for counterfeiting because that's a federal offense, but you would allege that the state could prosecute for possessing the plates or for possession of the plates in a manner to be used criminally. So would that be a dual prosecution then, one charge in the federal court and a separate charge in the state court?
First, I believe the state may be able to prosecute the counterfeiting. I don't think there's a preemption issue in that. Second, the answer is yes. The possession of criminal tools count, assuming we could not prosecute the counterfeiting, would proceed in the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas while a federal case was pending.
Wouldn't judicial economy, though, say that in the larger picture, even in the facts here with bootlegging videos, it all belongs in one court and maybe one minor offense, not carrying a heavy sanction, ought not be the prosecution and it belongs in one court? Doesn't that doctrine obtain somewhere?
I would disagree respectfully, Your Honor. My obligation as a prosecutor in this state is to make sure when individuals violate the laws of the state that they are prosecuted.
Generally, if the federal agencies are pursuing one avenue of investigation, you think the state should be right along with them?
Absolutely. And that happens quite frequently where there are dual charges for a number of different reasons. Informants that are used, police personnel that was used in certain investigations. There are a number of reasons that may happen. Now, there are also reasons why I may defer to a federal prosecution in this case.
Okay.
I don't dispute that. I think we have discretion to do that.
Okay.
Based on that, I would ask that this court reverse the 8th District and adopt the state's proposition, and I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman.
Mr. McGinnis.
Chief Justice Brown, may it please the court, I'm Joseph McGinnis, and I represent Walton Chappell, the appellee. The 8th District did exactly what the trial judge did in this case, simply said there isn't anything here. And in looking at the indictment in this case, there is more to it than even what we've seen and what has been ruled on. The language of the indictment says he intended to use the articles in the commission of a felony. In addition to that, 2923.24C, the PCT charge, says commission of a felony under the C section, as I said. 2901.02, it's an interesting statute because it prefaces the statute as used in the revised code, and then speaks about what a felony is. So in this case, there is even more to this, to my argument, than what the 8th District did. Criminally in this case seems to be the word that, since it's not defined, since we don't know what it is, presumably, then the ambiguity is construed in favor of the prosecution, which is contrary to the statute. And I think that that's really what Mr. Freeman is saying. There isn't any authority in his brief in any way that gives the court any enlightenment as to what really to do here.
Well, in this case, he had possession of what they're alleging are criminal tools, but he also had the product of the criminal tools, the bootlegged DVDs,
yes.
Did he not? So couldn't you have a pretty strong circumstantial argument that he actually used the tools to create a criminal activity? Because it wasn't like somebody that's collecting something for, because it's a collector's
item.
Yeah,
he had discs. I guess he did have discs, Your Honor.
Okay.
He did. But the PCT doesn't include the discs. It only includes the packing materials and various computer and that sort of thing. So that is something else.
Because a disc would be a federal offense.
Well, it will be. Actually, in looking at Section 506, it's a rather complex statute, far more than what the prosecutor has made out. To make a 506 case, there's a lot of evidence required and a lot of subject matter that has to be covered. The one thing that Justice Stratton, you asked in the prosecutor, he said, I dissented. Is this the same as Perry? And then he said, no, it's distinguishable. Well, it is very distinguishable from Perry because in Perry they were using a state statute. In this case, I was served with a bill of particulars and said, this is the statute we're using, 506, the federal statute. So in that case, the extra element, we're not even talking about the extra element. He's made it clear that there isn't any extra element. This is what I'm using.
Well, counsel, when you started out, you said that it was dismissed because the appellate court said there's nothing here.
Well, yeah, it used 2901.03.
Okay, but what they really said is that we define criminally to refer only to Ohio statutory violations.
Correct.
and not federal, so there's nothing here because the underlying offense is a federal offense.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so it's not like there's no criminal activity here. There is
the
criminal activity.
Statement.
It's just that, you know, based on the appellate court's view that criminally, and they take a very limiting definition of that as opposed to the fact that the statute doesn't contain any limiting action, but they are limiting the word criminally to reference only Ohio statutes.
Yes.
And that's the crux here, is what is criminally in its application, not whether 506 is a complicated or, you know, statute or whatever. It's a federal statute. And the problem here is that Judge McMonigal says, you got to have an Ohio statute violation or allegation or — and, you know, you don't have it here, so it gets tossed.
That's correct. That's exactly right. The prosecution then does something else. He goes into 29104A, which is the presumption that we talked about. And then in an effort to limit that presumption, in other words, to say that we presume it's in favor of the accused where there's ambiguity, he then goes to subsection D. And Chief Justice Brown commented on it, and he did exactly what I was going to do. He started to parse the statute. And the first part of that statute, only to kind of repeat what he said, was it's a revised code statute that refers to another revised code statute. When you do that, the first sentence takes his argument out because there's nothing like that here. There is also additional language in that statute which says that these charges have to be, and they say federal charges, state, local, and so forth, are similar to an Ohio statute. And I think what you're seeing here is something, you use it a lot in sentencing. If you had one arm robbery, you get a third degree. If you had two arm robberies,
right,
well,
right.
He had an arm robbery in Indiana.
Right.
And so
that's what the purpose of that is, that statute, is for
right.
sentencing application. And
probably mostly in sentencing.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know that either one of you are correct in its application here.
Well, the only thing I can say is that in using that, if he in applying that, there's a limitation under the A section, and that is it doesn't apply to D. So if you can make D apply, then we can get rid of A, and it makes it work a little bit better for him. And that, I think, is wrong. And I think the statute is exactly what you're saying and the questions that Justice Brown asked. So I think that what we really saw here in the bill of particulars was it was served on us, and I had a couple of days to respond, and I did. And that was the law that basically what I thought it really was. In the indictment itself, I think that if this court adopts this rule, which I think is, in my opinion, is quite incredible, you're going to expand PCT charges to unlimited anything. And in other words, the prosecutor is going to come in and say, well, you know, I've thought I've changed the PCT around. Well, that's basically what he did in my case. This started out as a criminal simulation case, and that's what the jury indicted. That's what I thought the PCT count was until the court dismissed it, and then we're left with a PCT count that has absolutely no instruction as to what I'm supposed to defend. And that's why I filed the bill of particulars, and this is what I got back. So in this situation, the only thing that I can say is I'm asking this court to follow the law. I cited the case of Crow versus Wainwright, and incidentally, that case is not unusual. There are a number of cases like that where a federal habeas corpus is filed in either the circuit court or district court says, you know, you don't have jurisdiction in this matter over a copyright. And I would ask the court to use that as guidance in this case, in this matter. And I think that the rule of law that the prosecutor is asking this court to adopt is one that's basically legislating from the bench, asking this court to do something, and really going way beyond what it could do. I think State versus Perry is very instructive, and that's the way we follow it in Ohio.
So to restate it, Mr. McGinnis, it would be that there should only be a criminal tools, possession of criminal tools offense cited when there is an offense in Ohio law that is being...
Yes, of course, and that's what I think. He intended to commit a felony, which is actually what it says. The charge says and the statute says. Use the articles with intent to commit a felony. And we then use these Muni charges. Well, the municipal court can charge a misdemeanor PCT and whatever the substantive...
Where is the definition of felony again in our code?
We don't exactly... It's not a great definition. But it comes in 2901.02, and it's classification of crimes. And it starts off, it says, as used in the revised code, and then subsection A, offenses include aggravated murder, felonies of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth degrees, and it goes on, misdemeanors, and it goes on. I think that's the best felony. And then if you take it down further, it then speaks of a felony that imposes an imprisonment sentence of 1 year or more under subsection E. And I think that that's probably the best statement as to what we call a felony in the state of Ohio.
So you would not say that that section in any way relates to the 04D section, which expands it into other jurisdictions, including the federal jurisdiction?
Well, I don't think 04D does expand that. I think what Justice O'Connor and I went back and forth on this. I think what it is saying, 04D, is if you have a statute in Ohio that's referring to another Ohio statute that, you say, maybe has a let's say use an armed robbery statute. It's a third degree if it's your first one, and it bumps up to a first degree if it's your second one. Well, the one you may have committed, well, it could have been a federal armed robbery of a bank, or it could have been a statute in the state of Indiana. And if that's the case, well, then we've got a similar, and the statute even says that. The rest of it says defined or specified. A substantially equivalent offense. Not only does the first part take out the prosecutor's argument, but the second part also takes out the argument because we're not talking about a substantially equivalent.
And offense. Your strongest argument really is under A, the rule of lenity for the defendant, correct?
Well yes, I think so. And I think the 8th District said that too. Mm-hmm. And where I'm talking at 2101.03A, mm-hmm. And then it also got into the 04.
Mr. McGinnis, the possession of criminal tools statute says that they use the term with purpose to use it criminally. It doesn't say with purpose to commit an offense.
Except,
and offense obviously would be more of a pinpointing of something that is encompassed in the Ohio Revised Code. And the word, though criminally, doesn't focus on an offense. You can...
Well, Your Honor, I was referring, under the PCT statute, I'm referring to subsection C. And it says, whoever violates this section is guilty of possessing criminal tools except as otherwise provided in the division. Possessing criminal tools is a misdemeanor of the first degree if the circumstances indicate the substance, device, instrument, or article involved in the offense was intended to use in the commission of a felony. Possessing criminal tools is a felony of the fifth degree. So I think there it is asking, and under the C section, it's saying, hey, did you intend to commit a felony?
Right.
And I think that this is what we're talking about. And then we'll go to the felony section, as Judge Lanziger said, under 2901.02, which says and starts off as saying, as used in the revised code. So we're simply talking about the revised code. I mean, I'm not seeing anything else that says this.
I'm trying to understand. So would you say that the word criminally is fleshed out in the elements of possession of criminal tools, and the word criminally either refers to Ohio misdemeanors or Ohio felonies?
Well, criminally can, because it speaks of possessing criminal tools as a felony of the fifth degree. Before that, I'm sorry, it speaks of it could be a misdemeanor also.
Right. So, Ohio, I mean, the word criminally could actually refer to the felony or the misdemeanor, but in both cases we're talking Ohio law.
Absolutely.
And not federal or other jurisdictions.
Well, I certainly believe that is true, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I look at the statutes here, I could say, well, maybe some of these statutes could have been more artfully drawn by the General Assembly, but nevertheless, I have to work with what I have, and I think that I've given you the best that I can give you in this situation. If anyone else has another question. I wish to thank you, Your Honor. I have nothing further.
Thank you, Mr. McGinnis. Mr. Freeman?
Mr. Freeman, what about that idea that the word criminally could actually be referring to the elements under the criminal tools section relating to either misdemeanor or felony offenses under Ohio law?
I think that distorts the meaning, the plain and normal meaning of the word criminally.
But we don't have it defined in the Ohio Revised Code.
I agree, and that means we use the normal customary definition, which is a social harm that the law makes punishable, and that's what we have here. And thinking of it, the copyright, potentially violating copyright, is maybe the ultimate social harm in the First Amendment context because it stalls the desire to produce materials for the public.
So your definition is expansive. You are broadening the definition, correct?
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I don't think that criminally is ambiguous. It means a social harm.
Or it means a crime, activity that is a crime.
Absolutely. And a crime is, the legislature knows what a crime is. And if they wanted to limit this in 1974, they would have said, with the purpose to commit any offense within the Ohio Revised Code.
Well, then the subsequent references to felony and misdemeanor would you agree they refer to Ohio Revised Code felonies and Ohio Revised and misdemeanors that are set out by whatever authority in Ohio?
No, I mean, in many jurisdictions have felonies and misdemeanors. Now, if, for instance, a out-of-state, perhaps, how about an out-of-state jurisdiction says a felony is something that's punishable by a $100 fine. Well, that might not comport in Ohio. That's a misdemeanor. So if I indicted an individual for that misdemeanor from out of state, I mean for that felony, it would actually become a misdemeanor such that PCT is a misdemeanor. That's the only limitation with that that I see from that. But, I mean, the legislature knows that other authorities and other bodies decide what their decisions on felonies will and will not be.
Assuming for the purposes of argument that this court agrees with your contention that criminally is more broadly construed than just an offense under the Ohio statute, in this case there's still a dispute not before us but that would have to be resolved on remand as to whether or not it states a felony or misdemeanor. Is that correct? There's some debate going on about that?
I'm not aware of a debate that is going on in that regard. The only issue that was before the trial court was whether the indictment was proper and maybe his claim that I violated his right to a grand jury in this case or the preemption claim. But it would still be on the state at the end of the day to prove by proof beyond a reasonable doubt that the Copyright Act is a felony. And the jury would have to find that to have him convicted of a felony. Otherwise, it would automatically, by statute, become a misdemeanor. I don't dispute that. The criminal, I want to make, I try to make this point that the criminal, the copyright violation is not preempted. The only things that become preempted under 17 U.S.C. 301 are those five rights that a copyright holder has under 17 U.S.C. 106. That's the right to reproduce, copy, distribute, perform, display. I am not alleging that Welton Chappell committed the tort of copyright infringement. My case will not center on that. It will center on the possession of those four items and what Justice Stratton indicated. I haven't indicted the discs that are potentially copyright violations because that would be a problem. But the possession of the criminal tools with the intent to commit the copyright violation is proper under the plain language of the statute and 2901.04d, and I would ask that this court reverse the 8th District. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman.